For it is an honor and a privilege to be here. To God be the glory. Amen. And whenever I can get out of my own congregation, I take the chance at any time. We don't start till 11 o'clock, and when you get out, maybe at 2:30, 3 o'clock sometime. So I'm thankful to be here. I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to go to my service or take this opportunity to go home and do something different. So if the Holy Spirit lead. But it's an honor and a pleasure to be here, as I said. I know Brandon. I've been knowing Brandon for the last almost 15 years. I see him grow up because I worked with his father at the company there. I've been there at least like 14 or 15 years. I know Brother Andrew back there. I've been knowing him a few years. I only been knowing John a few years, but it seemed like 20 years because because he grows on you, man. Yeah. Because once you know him, he grows on you, amen. You can never forget him, but he's my brother, and he's also my friend in the Lord there. And he also give wisdom, and it's an honor for me to be here. And I thank you guys for having me here. I'm not your traditional pastor because I like to move around, and I like to get feedback from the congregation. I like to talk a lot, but I also would ask questions also. Can I get amen? But the main word I've been hearing for the last 30 minutes or so is opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. And that's what I want to talk about, opportunity. It's not your normal Christmas sermon there. I know Christmas is coming up. Hope everybody have a happy Christmas and so on. But I want to talk about opportunity. There are so many times that we have opportunities in life, but we let them pass on by us. Even for this year, for the year 2013, just take an inventory. How many opportunities have presented itself to you? And what did you do about it? Opportunity to go to school, an opportunity to forgive, an opportunity to do this or that. We serve an awesome God, but God is also a strategic God. Nothing just happened as you're a Christian and serving God. Can I get amen with that? I always say that God, sometimes he sets you up. Sometimes he set up circumstance and opportunity. And if you're really walking with him and serving him, you got to know what he's doing in your life. We just cannot be lollygagging around when it comes to serving the Lord. Can I get amen with that? You got to know what God is doing, and he always bring opportune time into the life of his people. He wants you to know that he's with you. He wants you to know that he's for you. And there's a Greek word that also speak to that, and that Greek word is kairos. K-A-I-R-O-S, a time when things come into focus, a decisive moment you've been waiting for. That Greek word, kairos, just think you've had some kairos moment for the last year or so, but did you take advantage of those kairos moments? Did you take advantage of those opportunities that God have presented to you? And we're going to be in the book of Mark chapter 10. And I like, I'm one of them preachers like to see the Bible. So if you got your Bible, I know all of us got the little gadget and stuff. We put it on gadget. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start with verse 46. All right, it's up here. Mark 10, 46. Everybody there. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, was leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now, he was blind from birth, they said, so he was waiting. He had been waiting because everybody in Israel have heard of the Messiah. They know that he was going to come one day. And this blind man, he saw his opportunity there, what he's been waiting for. He saw that kairos moment. He recognized that opportunity. Now, wouldn't you say he was desperate? He was blind and sitting by the roadside begging. He couldn't even go nowhere unless somebody led him around. So he recognized that this was his moment. He recognized the opportunity had presented itself to him. What he's been waiting for, the opportune time when everything, when circumstance, a combination of circumstance, place, and time present themselves to you. And all these combinations presented themselves to the blind man. And when he heard, said that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Jesus was walking, and he heard that it was Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy on me. He recognized this was his opportune time. This is what he has been waiting for. And he recognized it, but not only did he recognize, he was not going to let this opportunity pass him by. Because he's been waiting. He knew this was his chance. He knew this was his divine moment. A divine moment from the Creator above. And he had been waiting for years for this. And he recognized it. Not only did he recognize it, but he can't let it pass him by. Because he know it might not come around again. And I want to ask this question. How many opportunities have you let pass by? How many opportunities have you let pass you by? Not only this year, but prior years. Just take an inventory. How many divine years, as they say, hindsight is 20/20, right? And you look back, how many opportunities have you let pass you by? And you know they presented themselves to you, but you fail to take advantage of it. And that shouldn't be so in the kingdom of God. You cannot continue to let opportunities pass you by. When opportunity knocks on the door, guess what? You should be right there to answer that door. Can I get amen with that? You should welcome it in, especially when it's of God, especially what God desires to do in your life. He presents opportunities for you. That's why you got to know him. You got to know what he's doing. I always say you got to separate God's who from his do. Who he is and what he's doing. Because I always say that God methodology would mess up your theology. God method of doing things would truly mess you up, because we expect him to do it one way, but he always come this way. If you expect for him to come through the front door, he come through the back door. And can I get amen with that? But look what this blind man doing. Though he was blind, we can learn a powerful lesson from him. He heard that it was Jesus. He recognized, hey, this was his Kairos moment. This was a divine appointment. A divine appointment from up on high. He recognized it. Not only did he recognize it, but he was not going to let the opportunity pass him by. Can I get amen? All right, let me start with verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But what did he do? He shouted all the more, regardless of people were saying, hey, it don't take all that. It don't take all that praying all the time. But he was desperate. When you say he was desperate, when you're desperate, you're going to get to God. Amen. When you're desperate and you want something from God, you don't care what nobody say. You're going to get what you desire to get from the Lord. They told him, hey, be quiet. But he shouted all the more. And I heard a lot of prayer requests just a few minutes ago, and some of them seemed desperate. When you come into the house of the Lord, you should be desperate for God to meet your need. You should be desperate for God to answer your prayers. But better yet, you should believe and know that he's able to answer your prayers. Can I get amen with that one? You should come into the house of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You should come into the house of the Lord expecting God to meet your need, expecting God to be right there at the point of need. I got to give you a little warning. Sometimes I get under the Holy Ghost, so I'm not going to apologize for the Holy Ghost, but he always give me what to say. But you should be desperate. There should be a desperation from the time you enter those doors until you sit in these seats there, a desperation for God to come in and do something totally different in your life. God desires to meet you right at the point of need. He's an opportune God. It said that in the fullness of time, he sent what? His son. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. God had all the circumstance set up. It was an opportune time for Jesus to come to do what God desires for him to do. And the same with us. Divine appointment. Please listen closely. Do not continue to let these opportunities pass you by. Opportunity to go to school. And we got family members coming in. An opportunity to forgive. If you've been holding unforgiveness in your heart for anybody, this is the right time. Everybody's all festive. Everybody's all merry. So you should take advantage. If there's forgiveness in any kind of family, because I've been there, I had to learn how to forgive, amen? And I had to take advantage of the opportunity that God presented, because I went through a lot of junk when I came here to Minnesota, but I had to learn how to forgive, and God presented me with that opportunity, and it always have to do with family issues, because as we know, the family issue is the worst one. Can I get amen with that? There's no hurt, there's no pain like family pain. There's no hurt and pain like a betrayal of a family member. You can forgive anybody easily except for the one that you think that should have your back. Can I get amen? But when you're serving God, he would not let you stay the same way he found you. I'm going to say it again. God would not allow you to stay the same way he found you. There's got to be some kind of change. There's got to be some kind of expectation. And he does that. He presents those opportune moments. Keep your finger right there in Mark 10. Let's go to Mark 5. And we'll start with verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell on his knees and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. And yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. Now, she had spent all she had, but instead of doing good, what? It got worse and worse and worse and worse. I've been there. Looked like the situation go from bad to worse. Can I get amen with that? You've tried, you spent all you had. You tried to do it your way, but every time you do it your way, it never turns out the right way. But for her, for 12 long years, she's been dealing with this problem. For 12 years, she tried to find a solution, but could not find a solution. And now, an opportunity had presented itself to her. Now, do you think she was going to let it pass her by? Why is that?
Healing.
With the healing, because she was desperate, right? She was desperate. What else did she have to lose? She lost everything. She spent everything. The situation was worse and worse. So she had an opportune time, a Kairos moment, and she was not going to let it pass her by. They said that people was pressing around Jesus. A crowd was following him. She overlooked the crowd. She overlooked the crowd because she was desperate. She needed a touch from him. This was her Kairos. This was her opportune time. This was the moment she has been waiting for. For 12 years, she tried it. For 12 years, she was desperate. And now, an opportunity presenting itself to her. She sees the moment. You got to learn how to seize the moment. Can I get amen with that? You got to learn how to seize these opportunities. Once again, once it presents itself to you, you cannot continue to let it pass you by. And she was not going to let the master, she was not going to let Jesus pass her by. Because she knew if he passed by, guess what? She would have to continue to be in that same old condition year after year after year. I got a question for you. How many years you've been dealing with what you've been dealing with? Since she was doing it 12 years, how many years you've been dealing with that same old thing over and over and over again? That same old issue. We all know that little one issue always seems to tug on us a little bit of here, a little bit of there. How long you been dealing with it? Well, this is your opportune moment. God desires to meet you right where you're at. He's an awesome God. Whether it's healing, whether it's financial, whether it's forgiveness, whatever it is, God, once again, he's a strategic God. He sets up moments just like this. He allowed his spirit to flow so you can meet him at the point of need. He's an awesome God. He'll never, I'm saying again, God is so good that he'll woo us to death over year after year, year after year. But you got to believe and know that he's ready for you. You got to believe and know that he sets up appointment. He sets up opportunities for us. King David, he was just out going to visit his brother, but yet a divine opportunity presented itself to him. What did he do? He went for it. Can I get amen with that? He went for it right now. We read about him thousands of years later, an opportune time, a kairos moment, a divine appointment from up on high. And once again, God sets up divine appointment in your life. He desires to meet you right at the point of need. He and he only know the chambers of the heart. He and he only know the desires of the heart. He and he only can read your mind from afar. He and he only know the desperation that you have. You can't tell nobody else. You don't have to tell God because he already knows. Can I get amen with that? It said that he perceived our thoughts from afar. Before a word is formed on our tongue, it said that you know it completely, Holy Lord. But yet, he knows what lies in the chamber of your heart. And he want to meet you right at the point of need. The woman with the issue of blood, all the people was crowding around Jesus, but she was not going to let the opportunity pass her by. And decisive moment, God comes. You got to know that you know that you know it is of God. He want to do something with you in this ministry here. He don't want it to continue to just play church after church after church. God desires to take Northbrook from here to the inner city, wherever he desires to take you. The divine moment, something you've been praying about, something you've been waiting for Northbrook. God sets up divine appointment, and you just got to take the opportunity. You can't pray and say, Lord, is this really you? You got to know that you know that you know. It said, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. You got to step out on faith. Whatever he desires to do in Northbrook, whatever he's put on Pastor John's heart, because we know John is bold. Can I get amen with that? He'll step out and do it in a minute. But you would never fail when you're stepping out doing anything from God. God is pleased with your faith. You can't lose, no matter how it may seem, when you're stepping out on faith and trusting and believing God. He's an awesome God. And Romans 8:28 said, and we know that all things work for the good of those who what? Love the Lord. He'll make it work out for your best. You just got to believe him and trust him. This woman here with the issue of blood, let's finish up. Let me start with verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I would be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. She reached out and touched him. She took advantage of that moment. She took advantage of that opportune time. She took advantage of that Kairos moment. I can't stress this enough. You got to start taking advantage of those moments. Can I get amen with that? I love my brother's testimony there. He's taking advantage of some things. He's believing and trusting God, though his friend is in a peculiar situation there. But I guarantee you, God sees. I guarantee you, God knows. And he always make it work out for all good. Can I get amen with that? The word said that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. I don't care whether it come from the top, from the White House, or wherever house it come from. If God said it, let it be so. Can I get amen? And he's believing and trusting God. And even for my sister here with U.S. Bank, even for a prayer room, want to do something awesome for God. God has the final say so. You remember in the book of Daniel, they even tried to stop Daniel from praying. But God overruled man's law because we trusted in his law. Can I get amen? Like, you know, when you play spades, God trumps everything else. And if you just believe and trust on him, stand on faith with God, you would never be disappointed. This is a divine appointment. That's an opportune time for God to do something awesome with you and through you. It's just no coincidence when these things happen, because God knows your heart, he knows your faith, but better yet, he knows your boldness. Can I get amen with that one? And I've seen God do some miracles there at Master Vision with John, because only with his boldness, he came in and took charge of the situation, and God honors that. You got to trust him. You got to believe him. I don't care how it may look, how long it may been, God is an awesome God. He'll come in, he'll make the wrong right. I'm a living witness of that. No matter who did it, how they did it, when they did it, and so on. If you believe and trust God, he always turning around for your good. It'll say that he gives us what? Double for our trouble. But if you would just trust him, take advantage of these times. Take advantage when God presents you with opportune moment. When God presents you with a divine appointment from up on high. You just got to walk through those doors and trust him. Whether it's going back to school, whether it's starting a new job, whether it's doing something here at the church and ministry, whether it's singing on the praise team, whether it's getting on the committee, whatever it is, those are opportune times for you to step out on faith and believe and trust God. Peter, he stepped out on faith, right? He took advantage of that opportunity, divine moment. You got to take advantage of these divine moments. Let's go back to chapter 10. How long I got, boss? All right. All right, let me, verse 48. And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now look, Jesus asked him a direct question. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The creator of the universe, the savior of his soul, would ask him a specific question. And God never beats around the bush. Can I get amen? You can read through this word. He always asks a direct question. He asks him, what do you want me to do for you? The word said that he's the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. If he asked it then, he asked it now. What do you want him to do for you? You came here today. What do you believe in God to do for you? He asks you a direct question. What do you want me to do for you? Don't beat around the bush with him. He wouldn't ask it if he didn't have the necessary resource to get it done. Can I get amen with that? He wouldn't ask the question if he didn't have the power to meet your need. What do you want me to do for you? He's asking. You came here. We all got dressed up pretty, smelling good. You came here to meet the creator of your soul. But now, what do you want him to do for you? What do you want him to do for you in your life, in your situation, in your circumstance, on your job, in your family, with your health, with your finances. He's able to do it. He wouldn't ask you if he couldn't do it. So what do you want him to do for you? What is this? December 22nd, 2013, 12:15 in the afternoon. What are you believing God to do for you? What do you want him to do for you? Is it a job? Heal your marriage? Come in your family, do this and that? Help you out in ministry, your health? What are you desiring God to do for you? A divine moment, an opportune time. You just can't sit and be quiet when you're dealing with God. Can I get amen with that? He's there. He wants you to talk back. And look what the blind man said. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." He asked him a specific question. He gave him a direct answer. Can I get amen? You got to be direct with God. If you're desiring to get married, hey, say, "I want a wife." Desiring to get married, "I want a husband. I want a better job. I want transportation. I want this. I want that." He's able to meet your need. He's able to satisfy your every desire. You got to take advantage of these opportunities because he's presenting them to you. Your Kairos moment. What have you been serving God for? What have you been believing him for? What have you been waiting for? What have you been coming to Northbrook Church year after year, Sunday after Sunday? But what are you trusting God for? You want him to fill it up? You want him to use you? Whatever it is, he asks you. You got to give him a direct answer. You got to recognize these opportunities. You can't let them pass you by. And you got to seize the moment. Seize the moment with God. And I'm getting ready to close out with Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, we're going to start with verse 41. Are you there? Luke 19, verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They would dash you to the ground, you and the children within your wall. They would not leave one stone on another because you did not what?" Well, what did that last verse say? Because you did not recognize the timing of God coming to you, God's timing. They missed out on it because they didn't recognize that he was the Messiah. They didn't recognize that this was their Kairos moment, a divine appointment. They missed out on it, not knowing what God is doing, not familiar with his ways. They said that because you did not recognize the timing of God coming to you. God is a God of timing. He's a precise God. He's a God of divine appointment. You got to know who you are serving. You got to know your God, or you're going to always miss out on what he's doing in your life. You're going to always miss out on what he's doing at Northbrook. You're going to always miss out what he's doing on your job. If he want to use you, he desires to use you. But you got to move when he moved. The Israelite, whenever they saw what? The pillar of cloud, what they had to do? They had to get up and move because that was God's time and he was moving. You got to know what God is doing. You got to know him. If he's moving, you got to go with the flow. You can never go wrong when you get with God. Can I get amen with that? He'll never, if he's moving, just go with him. He'll never lead you the wrong way. He'll never lead you down the wrong road. Whatever God is doing, figure it out and hop in it. And I guarantee you, you'll always benefit from it. Whether it's here at Northbrook, whether it's on the job, wherever it may be, that if you're a child of God, he's moving. He's doing something in you. God will never let you stay the same when you follow him. I'm a living witness. He desires for us to go from glory to glory. He desires for you to grow in maturity with him. Know what he's doing in your life. Know what he's doing in the church. Know what he's doing in your family. Know what he's doing on your job. You got to recognize the opportunity. Don't let it pass you by, but seize the moment. I don't care what it may look like. We're never too old for God to come in and use it. Ask Moses. Moses was how old? 80 years old. So you're never too old for God to come in and do something great and awesome in your life. But recognize these opportunities. Take advantage. Even this coming Christmas, if there's an opportunity to bring healing in your family, why not do it? No matter what it may seem like, no matter what the other person may say, this or that, if God is doing it, just believe and trust him. Can I get amen? Can we bow our heads, please? Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And God, we just got through reading Divine Appointment, how you just sets up circumstance and orchestrate them. So, Lord, you know each and every person here. You know each and every heart. God, you know each and every circumstance. But, Lord, I know that you desire to meet us at the point of need. So, God, meet every person here right at the point of need. Lord, do something great and awesome this coming season, Lord. God, set up and use in a mighty way. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We give you all the glory and all the honors. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.